You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your host John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone's Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
Welcome, folks. Episode 13.
Unlucky episode.
No, I like the number 13, because I like to be different.
That's because you're retarded, but keep going.
Keep going. Welcome. You can see we are already starting out on an awesome foot.
Did he tell you you're welcome?
You're welcome.
To the party.
Craig and John here with another amazing episode of Take Two Takedown. Not necessarily because this week's shows were that amazing.
Just because we are going to try to polish a turd.
We're
going to
do the best we can.
Let's be honest. There's good things coming on the horizon. We got the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
We got this mixed match tournament coming up.
Yes.
There's some really interesting storylines happening. So let's jump into it.
If you are a new follower for us from @Take2Takedown, we welcome you. We're getting new followers every day.
Hello.
We welcome you. All right. Please follow us on Twitter if you don't already. If you want to contact us, we have our new mailbag segment, tripletbag@gmail.com.
And we got some new mail.
We got mail.
In our bag.
We got teabagged.
Thank you for teabagging us.
So I think, do we start off the episode with our first mail?
Yeah, but let's tell them how they, we just did tell them how they could email us, right?
Right. It's just the word triple spelled out, letter T,
bag.
Word bag.
tripletbag@gmail.com.
Right. Please email us. And as we will show you right now, you email us, it leads into discussion, and we'll bring it up on the show.
So, please, would you share probably the best email we got this week?
Probably the best one. It's from one Tony D.
Tony D?
D.
I guess D stands for, like, douchebag?
Dick face?
Dirty man whore?
Dirty deeds.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that one.
I
was going with dirty man whore.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Okay. I mean, whatever works. I don't currently keep up with wrestling, says Tony.
Dumbass.
However, I have a fondness for old school 80s and 90s wrestling. I mean, who doesn't?
That's the Attitude Era and the beginning of a dream.
Exactly. So. What's a dream match you never saw? Hogan versus Stone Cold? What about tag teams? Legion of Doom versus Dudley Boys?
Ooh.
Also, didn't hear you mention it, but what's up with Jinder Mahal's nipples?
All right. If I may.
Thanks for teabagging me. From Tony.
Well, thank you for teabagging us.
Thank you for teabagging us, Tony.
Tony dumbass.
Mm.
Let me start. And we'll just get this out. Mm-hmm. We did address Jinder Mahal's nipples.
We did.
We said he wasn't up for the match against AJ Styles, but his nipples were.
His nipples sure were. And the more videos and pictures you look at it, the more up they were for that match.
And the only thing I have to say is, Tony, there's an issue if you're looking at another person's nipples. Since your name is Tony with a Y.
Right.
You're a dude.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could be Tony, so, Tony.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, we did mention Jinder's nips.
We did, and they are as disturbing as, I mean, I don't want to mention them more than once.
If his nips can wrestle as well as he can, then bring him in. But I think you got to call it like a three-man tag team, because those puppies are huge. I think we've talked enough.
They're basically a third arm.
It's like a silver dollar compared to a dime.
Exactly.
So I'm leaving it at that. I really like the dream match.
Well, let's go over what he said. Hogan versus Stone Cold.
Stone Cold would beat him all the way every day.
I would totally agree.
As much as Hogan is an icon, he is the ultimate get over superhero. Stone Cold is the everyman. That's who you're going to want to see win every day, all day.
Every day. As much as I love Hogan, as much as I, appreciate all that Hogan did, it's Stone Cold.
And then
100% out of 100.
The tag team he mentioned, Legion of Doom, every day, all day. Legion of Doom would literally eat and then crap out and then beat the shit out of them again, the Dudley Boys.
Right. And I'm talking and then, 90s Dudley Boys or the last current run of Dudley Boys. And, they would definitely
destroy.
And I'm
not saying a knock on Bubba or Devon. I'm just saying the Legion of Doom was that bad.
Now, Hawk and Animal are that bad.
If the Legion of Doom came back today, I don't think anybody could stand up to him.
I agree. So, in your opinion, let's go singles.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your dream any era's singles match against each other?
Let's flesh this out a little bit more. Okay. What if I throw this challenge at you?
Throw it!
We're having a triple threat match.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pick one wrestler from the 80s,
okay.
One wrestler from the 90s,
okay.
And one wrestler from the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have to kind of jive together. So I'll give you one off the top of my head. I will give you Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
Okay.
Versus Shawn Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Flash, Flair, and Panache. You see yep. where this is going.
I see.
To the modern day Miz.
Ooh.
The three of them.
Ooh.
Who do I give it to? Out of the three of them, because I love me some Ted, I love me some
right,
Sean,
right.
But
mm-hmm.
I am completely over the moon for the Miz right now.
Exactly. That's a rough one.
And you got to, like, if you hit him at the height of their game, like, I would say Shawn Michaels would get over on the other two, but I really, like, the Miz has got some staying power, so I really like the Miz. So I would say that would be one of my dream matches is see Ted DiBiase versus Shawn Michaels versus the Miz.
I like it.
I would like to see the Miz get over.
But
if I had to make an honest prediction based on public opinion, I would go Shawn Michaels. So what would you think? And you can pick.
I would probably say Shawn Michaels. If this match was to actually happen somehow, I would say Shawn Michaels probably, because he would be the better babyface to win all of that,
yeah.
As opposed to a Miz Million Dollar Man. Seeing them lose would be more entertaining, I think.
Well, because they were more consummate heels.
Exactly.
Shawn Michaels played both sides of the fence better than, say, The Miz. And definitely, because of the time they came up, DiBiase came in as a bad guy, left as a bad guy.
Yep.
So, but that would be one of my dream matches, singles-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I know I hit you hard with this.
You did.
So,
you did.
I am. I'll give you my tag teams.
Okay.
So, tag team from the 80s. Let's go with the British Bulldogs.
Always good.
Love the British Bulldogs.
Always good.
And I'm talking Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid.
Yes.
The original British Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll go British Bulldogs. Then I will go from the 90s. Because I don't want to use one that Tony Dick Yodeler gave us.
Right.
I don't want to go with the Legion of Doom, but that is one of my favorites.
That is a great one.
Ah, God, what am I thinking here?
Would you go for a Degeneration X?
I was trying to steer clear of Triple H and Shawn Michaels for a simple fact that I already mentioned Shawn Michaels.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So I would almost go. God, and then the problem is, like, I love the four. See, this is where it gets difficult, because I love the Four Horsemen, but is that really a tag team?
Right.
Because that would be, what, you know, a Wyndham and Zabisco.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can see them, but that's more of an 80s team, too.
Right, yeah.
Let's see. The original British Bulldogs, I'll give you what I really think should be a killer team right now is the Bludgeon Brothers. And then somewhere in the middle, I'll hit you with a Kane and Undertaker.
Okay.
I'll use them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So with that match, my favorite of the three would be the British Bulldogs, because that was one of my first, like, God, these guys are huge, and they can wrestle, and they can move, and the British Bulldogs were doing moves at the time that were just setting it off, and as a kid, I was coming up watching them, and that's what really brought me into wrestling. But if I had to go popular opinion, I don't think you could ever go over on the Undertaker and Kane.
I agree with that.
But the Bludgeon Brothers, if given enough time and cared for the right way, could be your next.
Oh, definitely.
Undertaker and Kane.
Definitely. I think they're definitely moving to that level. They got to give them a little more time. Maybe show a match longer than 30 seconds.
Well,
but
I think
we'll get in there.
they're destroying their way up so that they're building up that reputation of being the animals of the SmackDown tag team venue. Mm-hmm. So but you see how hard it is.
It is. It's hard. And it's hard work.
Tony, you know, dips a doodle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really, what a great question.
It is a great question. It is a great question. Now, this has me leading into, before I even get into my own choices, what you said there just had me thinking, what if you do 80s Undertaker?
When he first
versus,
came out.
When he first came out versus 90s Undertaker, where he had at least... Where three personas then?
Huge.
Huge.
Well, you had...
And then you had the American Badass at one point.
Yeah, and I think they tried to push it away.
Right, right. Versus the 2000s Undertaker.
All right.
Who, you put all of them in their prime, and it's hard to think of prime 2000s Undertaker, because he was sort of past
point,
some prime.
Well, at that point, he's an icon. He's a legend. Right. So prime is what he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we can knock the 2000 out.
I think so.
So it'd be between who he became in the 90s or the different... icons.
The many different...
But I'm going to go back. When he came out late 80s into the early 90s, he was a brand new, fresh idea. They put him over the top of Paul Bearer.
Yes.
Rolling the eyes and the rest in peace. You know, I mean...
Shit, was that Undertaker?
They sound just like him.
Sounded just like him.
But, I mean, they put him over the top, but... You had total buy-in from
total
everybody.
Buy-in.
Like
total buy-in.
They
everybody
put it in front
loved
of you, and you wanted seconds.
Yes.
Thirds.
Thirds.
So if I had to pick, and this is just my opinion, yes, he was huge in the 90s, and he carried the WWE on his shoulders outside of the whole Attitude Era. But I would have to pick him coming in and just the pop he got and the ride that we all went on with him as he made his way into the 90s. So...
I like
I would go with the beginning.
I would think, I would say the beginning as well. 80s as well. 80s as well.
All right, so, give me your choices.
Sorry. All right, so tag team, my choices are, I'm going 80s, and this is purely because I loved them so much. 80s Bushwhackers.
Okay.
Because I loved the Bushwhackers. I don't know why.
I love the Bushwhackers. Just the silliness and the stupidity.
Exactly.
They would lick each other's head.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Then I go for D-Generation X.
Ooh.
All right. Because I loved them so much.
Yeah. So you're just picking your heart.
I'm just picking my heart.
That's fine. And
who's
got your heart right now?
The Shield. The original Shield.
Okay.
And it's mainly because I want D-Generation X versus The Shield. Bushwhackers, I just want to throw in there
because
I like them.
You threw in there because you wanted to bring everybody to remember the Bushwhackers.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I got that.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going the Shield against D-Generation X.
Shield against D-Generation
wow,
X.
Wow, that's a tough one.
That's a good one. I mean, that's a really good
match.
A rough who you have against who, you know, like.
Yeah. Ooh. So do you go, and I'm posing the question to you, if we're going to go D-Generation X against the Shield, do you go DX with Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and like a 1-2-3 Kid with the China? Do you have, or I'm sorry, not 1-2-3 Kid, X-Pac.
X-Pac, right.
Do you throw in like Badass Billy Gunn? Do you give him the Road Dog?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
You have a whole.
There's so many to choose from, you know? Like, I mean, I would probably lean more towards Road Dog because I feel like a Road Dog's Roman Reigns.
I wouldn't do the Road Dog against Roman Reigns.
I would put
Road Dog more up against the Dean Ambrose. They were both the mouthpieces.
That's true.
And the movers of the team.
That's true.
I would put a Seth Rollins up against
the Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
And then obviously Roman Reigns against Triple H, which we'll see again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that would have been my picks. The dark horses there would who's going to go up against Dean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the pick would be like a Road Dog. But I got to give it to X-Pac. He's got a mouth on him, too.
He does. And just because I would enjoy it, a Roman Reigns versus China could obviously happen.
They both have the same hair and unibrow.
Right. And body type. Right?
I mean, is it bad to speak of the dead?
No. Roman Reigns is dead?
No, my friend. I can see where you would get Roman Reigns and China mixed up.
Right.
But it is China who is dead and Roman Reigns still alive.
Oh, okay.
They painted a beard on him so that you would know he's a dude.
I got you. That Roman Reigns was really China come back. China never died.
As a dude.
Right. She's like Tupac. She's not really dead.
No. Tupac's wrestling independent circuits. It's pretty funny. It's funny to see fat old Tupac. It's not Tupac, it's X-Pac.
Right.
Tupac got shot right
Tupac
after Biggie.
Tupac got shot.
There's a USA Network series on it. Anyway, we digress.
Okay.
Tell me your singles.
Okay, singles. See, this is where I'm having trouble. It's the 90s I'm having the most trouble with in my mind here.
All right, well.
Because I'm going.
Give me your 80s and your 2000s. My 80s, like you did, I'll help you in the 90s.
My 80s, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm.
All right? And you'll see where I'm going here. Because my 2000s, Daniel Bryan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
And then plop in the middle of that.
Who fits in this probably could be done in the woods.
A match. True lumberjack
A
match.
A true lumberjack match. Who fits that 90s?
That 90s vibe. We could go with like a Raven, who was the angst kind of guy.
Okay.
We weren't tied down to WWE or F at the time.
That
we
is
were
very
just
true.
Ass wrestlers.
That is very true.
So you could do like a Raven.
Mm-hmm.
You could go kind of Stone Cold because we all know he's an outdoorsy guy.
Yep.
You could
go
Shawn Michaels. We all know he's a hunter.
A Stone Cold versus a Daniel Bryan.
That would be
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a match worth watching.
But because of who I am, I'd have to go, oh, hell yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I think I'd have to go Brian for that one.
Really?
I think I would.
So
as much
yes
as I
man,
love Stone Cold,
and
I'd be a yes man.
I'd be a 316er.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good.
This
good.
Is fun. I like this. Please, folks, continue to send in questions like this. And as we discussed last week when we opened up our teabagging for the first time, we'll take any questions, wrestling, non-wrestling, anything you want. TripleTeabag@gmail.com.
And just because I want to say it, if you have questions about the boudoir.
The boudoir.
I just like saying boudoir.
Boudoir. That's the word TripleTeabag@gmail.com.
Now, when we get multiple emails and that kind of stuff, we'll spend less time, but we'll give it the attention. And if we can't answer it on our podcast, we will most definitely send you an email back.
Oh, at least an email back. We'll probably at least send you a Twitter shout out if you put your tweeter on there.
If
your tweeter name.
If you're lucky, you might get a signed headshot.
Oh, not of either of us.
It won't be our heads.
No, no. We'll send you a picture of Max Headroom, and then we'll just sign it.
And just write headshot on it.
Headshot. Thanks for the teabag.
Perfect. All right, so let's get into this week's Raw and
Wait,
SmackDown.
Raw and SmackDown happened too?
They were both pretty bland shows. But
they were.
Enough
they
to
were.
Push storylines. So let's get into Raw.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We had our Raw. All right. Roman Reigns, all about defeating Samoa Joe, defending his title. Look at me. I'm awesome.
But, I mean, I give the man credit. You and I both know you are a huge Roman Reigns fan.
Right.
I am mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him credit. This is the first time in a long time he's gotten over cleanly on Samoa Joe.
Yes, and that the crowd is happy about it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
the crowd is not happy when Roman Reigns wins.
This is the most buy-in I've ever seen on a Reigns rant.
Ever.
So, it's good, and I mean, but we all knew where this was going.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Jason Jordan was going to come out and shoot off his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he did.
And he did. And he did. And so Rollins and Reigns are there. And I actually kind of like what they're doing with this. As much as we've talked about how Jason Jordan is this sort of whiny, one-dimensional character that's hard, I like that if they're doing this, Rollins and Reigns are kind of not enjoying it, so that maybe this will lead to dissension between them all.
Oh, it's gonna. But let me ask you this. And I was thinking about this after we talked about it last week. We both hate the whiny, privileged Jason Jordan character. But
agreed.
He's getting what he is working for.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So I gotta give it to him. He is really selling it, because for me to genuinely watch him come on and go, man, he really can wrestle, but God, I hate him.
Right, right. For him to come out, and the minute he starts talking, like, shivers go up my spine, and not because he's bad, but because I hate him so much, he's doing what he's trying to do. Like,
and so he's gotten over, so kudos to
right,
him.
Right.
Like, I had to stop back and take a moment and be like, you know what, he is really getting over with this character, because me being such a mark to sit there and go like, oh, God, I don't want to hear him, but I want to see him wrestle.
Right, right.
You know, he's really gotten over. Mm-hmm.
But this leads into what is probably, I feel, the one exciting thing that happened on Raw.
Well, yeah. So he shoots his mouth off, says, this iteration of, and he's the only one calling him this, the Shield.
Right. Very clearly the only one calling him this.
is the best three-man team in WWE now, and who do you think took offense to that?
Oh!
Is it the Balor Club, the Champions Club, the Bully Club?
I don't know what they're going to be called.
And Finn Balor and the Good Brothers come out and say, oh, no,
not in my house.
Not today. And then everybody's favorite angry grandpa comes out and automatically sanctions a match.
We know a match right now!
So we all know.
So we know that's happening at the end of the night.
Yeah, the pop match at the end is going to be. So then we have some filler matches.
Right, we've got some women's of Sasha Banks and Bayley beating
Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Some of the Absolution
and Paige and Mickey are out there to support their friends and faction. But what I liked is we finally get to see the girls that got called up from NXT wrestling.
Yes,
and it's actually a good match. Like there's a lot of give and take, but we both know Sasha and Bayley are going to win. Yeah,
that wasn't even a question. Without Paige in there, I feel that Absolution will never win.
Yeah, well,
if they need Paige in the ring, then you know they're winning, right?
Yeah. Mm. So she needs.
And then my friend, Woken Matt Hardy comes out.
Oh God, I hate him so much, but. The best part of this whole match, Curt Hawkins keeps the streak alive. Buy the shirt, folks.
Buy the shirt.
Curt Hawkins.
Buy the shirt. I will
150 plus losses.
I am glad that they at least changed the walkout music now for Matt Hardy. He's not using the Hardy Boys music anymore. He's got his own entrance music, which means that maybe this Woken thing will flush
die?
Out more. Flush.
We'll
be more.
Burn and
they need to go even more with this.
What? God, it's so freaking awful. I hate it so much.
But then Bray Wyatt comes out, and they stare down each other.
He doesn't come out. He just appears.
He just appears.
And they both announce they're in the Royal Rumble.
Right.
I mean, we see where this is going. If they don't let Bray Wyatt get over on this, they're going to totally kill that character.
Oh, 100%.
Because Woken Matt
Hardy will be fine for a while.
is a fucking cartoon.
Yes.
So get rid of him. I hate him. We've talked about it. Move along.
Move on.
My favorite part, even with the six-man announced match, is the return of the Miz.
The return.
And what does he do? He comes out, says, hey, great job, Mr. Raj. You know, gives a little pat on the back for his boys, but calls out Roman Reigns. I let you borrow the belt. You were just holding it for me while I was busy making movies and being awesome.
I
want it back, bitch. Give it,
biatch.
So, and then the other thing, he announces a television deal with the WWE that him and his wife will be in some sort of show. So what I'm seeing is, what is it, Chrisley Knows Best?
Chrisley Knows Best.
With The Miz going, you know, I don't necessarily care for the dick, but Maurice likes it. I don't know what to say.
Oh, that would be funny.
But him and WWE are going to do some, I think, like live documentary-esque show, almost WWE Divas.
Like Total Divas?
Yeah. But with
so at what point does USA just give up and just become WWE Network?
I think it's going. I mean, all they have left is the SVU
marathons that they run. Right, and NCIS and all those shows that have been on for decades. And
all the old
I don't really
show,
know people watch.
Then our wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and we've said it before, like, the show Chrisley Knows Best is like a car wreck. It comes on and, like, you're like, this guy's so androgynous, but yet he's got a wife and kids. And,
right.
I mean, as creepy as it sounds, an attractive daughter?
I mean, sure thing. So, creepy old man, whatever.
I'm just saying.
What?
Anyway, let's move along.
Okay.
So we get all that. And
we get some cruiserweight action.
We get Cedric Alexander against Enzo Amore. We all know Enzo's going to hold the belt. They're not going to drop it on a Raw episode. Plus, he's just coming back from the flu. I mean, he was genuinely sick.
Yes.
And you could tell by his ring work, he was sloppy.
He was sloppy. And I don't know at what point, like, you know, without getting behind, I don't know what was real and what wasn't, because that face busting.
Oh, he busted his face
wide
open.
That looked real. I don't think that was planned.
No, which I think was by accident.
Right.
And then he was supposed to play off the hurt ankle.
Right.
To get the count out so he could hold his belt so they could drop it on a pay-per-view.
Right, right.
So my thinking is he got busted up for reals. He played off the ankle. They didn't know what to do, so they just went with the storyline, and end all be all, Enzo holds the belt, but Cedric gets the win.
And what leads to the best part? It's Nia Jax taking care of her boo at the end.
Ah, She loves her boobs.
She loves her boobs.
But, and we'll get more into Nia because she did something and I'm like, damn, girl.
Damn, girl.
I'm really starting to get a whole new, like, I've always been a fan of Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. To come in and be the wrestler she is and then have to go through the shame of the size she is and all that.
Yes.
Mm. But, I mean, what a great, strong person she is. Has the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. Like, I could just stare in her eyes all day long. Seriously. But, I mean...
So, what is wrong with you?
You know where my heart belongs.
That's true.
We will talk about
her. We will talk about her when we get to
Smackdown. But I will tell you this. Nia Jax has beautiful eyes. I've said it from the get-go. And you can go fornicate with yourself. Anyway.
Such language.
So then we have a couple get over matches where it's Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil
worldwide
versus the Bar. They win.
Right. As we discussed, probably only to keep them semi-relevant,
well,
right?
Let's be honest. Even the announcers had written off this match, like this is just a filler match, blah blah blah. But then they win, and yeah, I think it's just a get over match to keep Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews relevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good for them, but I don't think it's going anywhere.
No.
Then
we have
the best part of the show, maybe. We have Braun Strowman meeting Kane and Brock Lesnar right, in the back.
And he kills him.
he kills him. Not only does he kill him, but then he wrecks the set onto him.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. The best part was when he goes into some unknown crate and pulls out the back grappling hook. And you're like, what is he going to do? Put on a cape? Swing across the way? I mean, what's going to happen with this gravity? He's not going to throw it at Kane or Brock.
No, that would be crazy.
But then you get Heyman and all his sellability, and he's like, no, Braun, don't do it. And you see Braun, and I was just waiting for the ultimate fuck-up of where Braun throws a grappling hook, and it misses. But no, he hits it on the throw. I don't know if they edited it out, but for me, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Yep. Like he threw it at one time, and it was perfect.
You bought a grappling hook, line, and sinker.
Yep, exactly. And he then pulls down the scaffolding on top of Kane and Brock Lesnar. So Brock gets carted out in an ambulance.
Right.
Kane crawls out and hobbles into whatever hole Kane goes to.
I mean, they're dead. They're dead.
So
it would have been nice to see all of this at Royal Rumble, but they're dead now.
But, folks, if you need an update on the availability of Brock and Kane, you can go to WWE Network, and they will tell you they're okay.
They're okay. They're okay.
They'll be there to wrestle.
Right. Don't worry. Don't worry.
A couple of other get-over matches. We know Samoa Joe is going to beat the piss out of Rhino.
That wasn't even worth.
Rhino's trying to teach Heath Slater to be tough, but he keeps getting his ass whipped.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the send-out for Rhino and probably Heath Slater.
Probably. Yeah. The most enjoyable thing Heath Slater does is when him and other wrestlers play games on the WWE Network YouTube channel.
Funny. Like, he's a great host.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bad wrestler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
then your beautiful-eyed Nia Jax attacks poor Asuka.
Well, no. I mean, they had a match, and what I really liked about this, and this is why I say we get back into Nia, is you get a little vignette right before the match of where Bliss is, hey, you'll never know what Asuka said about you. And Nia looks at Bliss and goes, oh, yeah? And then Bliss whispers something right in her ear.
Very Heather's,
Yeah, and I like that because they're building up the Little Miss Bliss. And,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, long and the short of it is, Nia looks at her best friend and says, how's your Japanese? Do you speak Japanese? Mm-hmm. She goes, I don't speak Japanese. And she goes, Asuka couldn't have said that. She doesn't speak English. Well, she does. We've heard her. But, you know, she calls her buddy out like that, still goes down to the ring, and surprises Asuka.
Gets
over. She didn't get a win because Asuka doesn't lose.
No.
Mm-mm. But gets over and basically drops Asuka, destroys her. So
and stands over her menacingly.
I really like the fact that they are letting Nia get over a little bit and really building her as the strong, independent person she should be.
Yeah, I agree.
So I like it. She's just not, and pardon the term, she's just not the big girl of the women's division.
Right, they're showing her strong.
She is a strong, independent person, and she's getting the push that she deserves.
Mm-hmm.
So good on her.
And then Raw ends with Balor, Bullet, Finn Club, whatever we want to call them. All right, versus the quote-unquote Shield at this point.
Jason Jordan's idea.
Right, Jason Jordan's Shield.
So There's obviously dissension with the Shield S Jordan team, and that causes them to lose.
Balor the Good Club Brother wins.
And the Balor, and I love, like, you can tell Finn Balor is so happy to be with Gallows and Anderson again. He is nothing but, like, a little boy smile the whole time. And he's back. Like, he is back. Like, he's selling.
Oh, I love it.
Like, he was always good, but, like, you can tell he's so happy. And they've really, like, bolstered Anderson and Gallows and made him the badasses that they should be. And I really like where this is going. Hey, we finally got another tag team.
Yes, finally. Yeah.
In Raw. So now we got Gallows and Anderson, or Gallows and Baylor, or Anderson and Balor, and whatever. But it looks good.
Yeah.
And they get over on the Shield, which I think was a perfect way to do it. But the nicer part was, once the Shield is licking their wounds, comes out and takes
Roman Reigns is there berating Jason Jordan that this is he's why they lost. And then Miz and Miztourage come out and attack the new Shield.
So I see this turning into the new Shield having a tag match with the Miztourage.
Yes.
And then Reigns and the Miz having a title match.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, if they do like a three-man or a six-man tag match, is it titles for, you know, whatever?
I can see that. So will we then at some point see a Balor Club versus Miz and Miztourage?
I would say yes, but what I'm seeing, like, this is my projection for the future.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously need to drop the IC belt off of Reigns. He was literally holding it while the Miz was out.
Right, right.
So they need to drop the IC belt so that he can be the contender to Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. They are so animate in pushing him over and
so
giving
much,
him
yes. mm-hmm.
that they have to somehow get rid of this belt so he can compete for the other. Seth Rollins, Jason Jordan, Dean Ambrose, whoever his partner is, like we just said it, you have the bar, but the bar held it long enough, so they're going
to
do bar stuff. And now you've got this Gallo and Anderson team that they're building up. They're making stronger. Now they're a competitive team. So how do we get over? Now what I would love to see is Finn Balor get the Intercontinental Champion. The Gallows and Anderson really give that boost to that club, whatever they're going to call it, and then move on.
Right. I mean, they were pushing so much with S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to do the we get all the belts.
Oh, we talked about it last week.
Right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. fizzled.
Yeah.
You get the Balor Club, so you got the pop of that.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the Miztourage. Now, we understand that Axel and Dallas are jobbers at this point.
Yeah.
But they're getting over.
They are. They are. But I love the idea of a Balor Club, Finn holding one belt, Gallows and Anderson holding the tag team belt. Like, they keep it all. Like, I love that. It worries me sometimes because I know that Vince is not huge on bringing the people up for NXT and, like, they making them separate almost by, you know.
With the WWE specifically, I am hungry for a rotating belt of some sort where it's you've got talent after talent fighting each other and the belt is dropping on a routine basis so that it's always like, oh, who's going to win it? Who's going to hold it? And then you get that one character that almost like the U.S. champ, and we'll talk about that, but you get that one character that has the charisma to hold it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Roman Reigns can hold it for right now. The Miz could hold it for right now. You got a Finn Balor that could hold it for right now. You might have another one or two that could be in that mix. The big point is WWE, you got a prime opportunity here. You've got a good little feud of three wrestlers that could hold, or even two wrestlers that could hold. You know, use it.
Use it. Exactly. That's what I'm hoping. Yeah. That's what
we got to put a note up on McMahon's
desk. We'll talk to Vince.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Vince.
We'll drop a little, you know, when he's dropping his snoozy pills.
We'll whisper in his ear. He'll think he thought of it himself.
All right. But with that being said, let's get into SmackDown.
Smack it down. All right. It starts with what I think we always enjoy.
The girl is going to do me. What do you always enjoy?
Anything that involves Renee Young.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think this was AJ Styles' interview style with Renee Young. I enjoy. I always enjoy.
I raise my coffee cup and a toast here. Toast for Renee Young.
Toast to Renee Young. Clinkies.
Clinks. So, Renee Young's out there looking beautiful. Dean Ambrose, you're a lucky man.
Mm-hmm.
She is not the love of my life, though.
No.
I respect her. I would buy her a fine meal and tip the waiter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's big. That's big.
But
you're thinking soft peck on the cheek when you drop her off.
Yes. Soft peck on the cheek and not a rose, maybe like a lily.
Or a carnation.
Carnation is for
Is she above carnation
at least? She's above carnation, but not full rose.
Mm-hmm.
She would go far on The Bachelor in my world.
Right, right.
But not be the finalist.
No. We'll get to the finalists.
Anyway.
But AJ Styles is there. And nice interview with Renee Young.
But I mean, let's be honest. It's the normal SmackDown opening where it is a recap of all the shit that's gone on.
Yes. So they've now just changed instead of just Shane McMahon doing it.
And Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
Now we're talking AJ Styles and Renee Young reviewing it.
But I mean, both of them known love celebrities. Everybody loves Renee Young. Everybody loves AJ Styles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they get into it. AJ, I mean, he works the mic. He is a consummate seller. So he's on there. He's talking about how dumb everything is. And right in the middle, what music drops?
Oh, good old KO and Sami Zayn coming out.
Yep. Yep. I love me some Sami Zayn. He's coming out heel. Like, he is everybody's hated person now because he was everybody's favorite person before.
Mm-hmm.
But so they come out. And then who comes out to interrupt the Yep movement? One Shane McMahon.
He hates them. So we had them discussing the handicap match of Owens and Zayn versus AJ Styles. McMahon then comes out and says, "Now
I've got a new handicap match.
I'm changing
match.
It again. Now it is Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles versus Owens and Zayn."
It's not Shinsuke Nakamura. It's surprise partner to be named later. That's how it's translated into English.
I forgot how you translate Shinsuke Nakamura to English. My mistake. Okay, I was speaking Japanese.
Yeah, so now it's a reverse handicap match where it's Zayn and Owens versus Orton, Nakamura, and AJ Styles. So we got the pop for the end match. We know what's going to happen.
Right.
But, good. Favorite part of the whole show.
What could it have been? As I sit here and watch SmackDown, all I think is the butterflies that fly up from you when this happens. Your heart goes a flitter.
I have to put this out there. We all know that I have the biggest crush on Becky Lynch.
We all know, yes.
I love you, Becky Lynch. I have said that from the get-go.
All 13 episodes.
She has come back stronger, better than ever, and the fire, and I'm going to say it, the straight fire she has in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she comes out, she looks beautiful.
I like the more... natural hair, I think, is a little far to go, but not the, like, bright orange fiery hair she had.
It's not cartoon red anymore, but it fits the character. She looks great, and...
she doesn't look as completely covered head-to-toe steampunkish as she often does.
I still like the nod to it where she's coming out with the goggles. One of my favorite parts about Becky Lynch is every time she comes out, she does her little intro pop, and then the very first thing she does is she looks for the kids in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs to them. And, I mean, I just look at her and I'm like, God, that's so sweet.
I mean, she would get along with your kids so well.
My kids are probably as old as she is.
Maybe she'd get along a little bit better with them than you want.
No.
I've ruined it for you.
I've ruined it.
You're welcome.
Son of a bitch. Anyway. So she comes out.
John is just thinking about his son sleeping with Becky Lynch now, and now I've just ruined everything.
Fuck, I wasn't, but then you said that. My God, my son is not that old, okay? He looks like a grown-ass man.
Let's take a guess. Who do you think is closer in age to Becky Lynch?
Me?
Your son, who is 14? Or you? 75 years old.
75 years old.
I'm not quite sure. I know you had a birthday. I'm not quite sure. Did you hit the Diamond Jubilee? What's that?
Isn't that a meal at Golden Corral or something?
You'd know, senior citizen discount.
I am not a member of ARP right now. Oh God.
This is gonna be a fun game. What do you think, folks? Before we even get to this, if you're listening to this episode right now, tweet in immediately. Who is closer to Becky Lynch in age? John, who you don't know how old he is, or John's 14-year-old son?
All right, so the winner is my son by 3 years.
Only by 3 years. It's not as much as I thought.
So anyway... So Becky Lynch comes out. She looks great. Beats the piss out of Ruby Riott. I like the idea. I hate the fact that they're trying to promote it with having Charlotte and Naomi come down, and then they had the Riott Squad come down.
Yeah, that was...
I want to see Becky Lynch because the story went that the Riott Squad knocked her out for 6 weeks, and now she's getting her revenge. And she started with the leader of the group, beat the piss out of her, tapped her out with the disarmer. You know, give her that. Let her have it.
Yes.
And then let her go through the other two of that stupid Riott Squad, and Raccoon Eyes came out again.
Mm-hmm. Good old Raccoon Eyes.
And not only was she Raccoon Eyes, but she was furred.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a little much.
I just like, you were really trying to sell this mountain woman kind of crap, and I'm not okay with it.
And then we have another beating come across with the Bludgeon Brothers just destroying the Ascension.
Yeah.
And as we discussed, I like the Bludgeon Brothers. I like them a lot. I think they have potential. And I know that they're doing this whole mowing through everybody sort of storyline, but they need to, I want to see more from them. We've discussed how good Luke Harper is, and I want to see a match last 5 minutes.
But I mean,
6 minutes.
I think the biggest problem with Luke Harper doesn't fit that mold. Like, he's fast, he's big, he can hang with anybody, but he just looks like, you know, the dirtbag hillbilly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, we love Luke Harper because he looks like the dirtbag hillbilly, but yet he is an amazing wrestler, and I don't think they allow his talents to shine through. They're letting it happen more with the Bludgeon Brothers, but if you go back and watch his matches from NXT and up into the first part of the WWE call-up, this guy's amazing.
He is. He's great. He is great.
His only drawback is he's a Redskins fan.
I mean, that is one of the reasons I think I love him, is because he is a Redskins fan.
We are from the D.C. area, and you either love or hate the Redskins. There is no
between. Guess which side I'm on, folks.
Yep. Craig loves them.
HGTR.
You're dumb.
All right. Let's skip over U.S. Championship. We'll finish up SmackDown, and then we'll get into it.
So the Benjables come out.
Benjables come out.
You so aptly named them the Benjables.
Benjables. I've heard them called... I feel it's catching fire. I didn't hear them talk about it on SmackDown, but I think it's getting there.
Well, so let's talk about the names for these teams. We have American Alpha 2.0.
Right.
Mm. We have, you know, Shelton Benjamin and Gable.
Shelton Benjamin.
I just love how the Usos say his name. Shelton Benjamin. That's kind of Macho Man.
It was. Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, they don't really have a name, but we love them anyway.
No. Mm-hmm.
And they come out, they argue what happened last week, and it's not fair.
Right, where they won, but then there was the ref turnaround, and so they decided not to win.
You guys are against us, right. All this shit.
So Daniel Bryan comes out, says...
Best two out of three
falls match for Royal Rumble.
All right, so your prediction, who gets over? And we are obviously going to do episode... Solely for the Royal Rumble.
Solely for the Royal Rumble.
It's one of the big four.
Yes, exactly.
And it's the first of the big four for the year.
No, I think that's definitely going to be happening. Probably a dark match, I'm going to say, later this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe early next week.
But we'll have to fit it in. But so they come out, they get their match. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I like watching these two teams work each other.
I agree.
This next match, although it was kind of a filler match in my opinion, I didn't see the outcome.
No, and I think the only thing to discuss from this match is the outcome. Mm-hmm. They wanted, because otherwise this would just be coming.
Breezango faces Rusev Day!
Rusev Day!
And Rusev Day is so over the top.
So big.
And
tried to order my shirt last night. Sold out still.
I told you. You have to wait 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Rusev Day.
This is bullshit.
You can get black market ones.
That's true.
But you're going to spend money on crap.
Right.
Anyway, so Breezango gets the win in this one. And I think this was just their paybacks for being cannon fodder to the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, they wanted to give them a little something.
So, but I was.
But I will say, if this leads in even to a few vignettes, which I know we've discussed is what Breezango does best.
Yes.
If this is Rusev Day and Breezango vignettes, I will enjoy that.
Well, because we are really buying that cartoony pop of how over the top Rusev is about Rusev Day.
Exactly.
And I love getting the tweets where Aiden English has renamed every wrestling event as a Rusev.
Right. The Rusev Rumble.
Rusev Mania, the Rusev Rumble, you know, the Clash of Rusevs. And then he's going so far as to plaster Rusev's face over every wrestler on the poster. So I'm loving all that stuff.
I think
that would go pretty well with the Breezango stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So The finisher match, the end match, we had the handicap
surprise
match.
Handicap match.
But, I mean, it's a good match. There's a lot of good give and take, but it spills out into this fight, and AJ and Owens wind up in the backstage beating the piss out of each other, which leaves poor Sammy alone.
Oh,
and he is the victim of, like, a steel step destruction death ray handgun thing. I don't know, but...
I don't know, but I think he's dead. Obviously, I think him and Brock Lesnar and Kane are all dead.
He can't be dead because he's Becky Lynch mixed match partner.
Oh, that's true. That was announced. That was a, you know what? That's something we're going to have to also discuss on our Royal Rumble dark match
episode.
There's
so much stuff going on. We're going to have to push another
episode. We're going to do another special episode. Why? For you guys.
So
for the fans.
But so we saw that coming. We know there's going to be more. I really got to bring something up that isn't on the shows, but is part of the shows. Big E gets voted in by the public as Carmella's mixed match partner.
Amazing.
Have you seen on YouTube the training montage of Big E training Carmella for this mixed match competition?
I mean,
holy,
there's nothing better than this.
Holy crap. So we have Carmella from the neck down, a beautiful body.
Yes.
From the face up, it's all horse.
Yes. Right. She is a horse face. But, she is a Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's so awesome watching Big E trainer montage style with flapjacks.
Yes.
And she's doing shuttle runs, picking up a flapjack, eating it. She's like double stuffing flapjacks in her face. It is just the amazingness in it. I'm loving it.
And I'll tell you, the reason I looked at Rusev Day shirts yesterday is because I actually went to WWE shop to see if they finally have the shirt of "You flapped the wrong jack, son."
Why do they not have that shirt?
I don't
know. I'm so angry.
I might have to go make that shirt.
Yes. We're going to... I'll get a Sharpie and a white T-shirt.
We should... Don't steal that idea, WWE. We're going to make official... Our first official T3...
You flapped the wrong jack, sucker.
Take two, takedown shirt. We'll just say, "You flapped the wrong jack, sucker."
Yeah.
And on the back, take two, takedown.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's... We'll make millions.
This is almost synergy because I think on the Take Two podcast... Where they were talking movies and that kind of thing, they talked about
making another shirt too.
So nobody steal our ideas.
Nobody steal our
ideas.
You can go to TeePublic right now and search Take Two Podcast and buy Take Two stuff. You can buy Take Two shirts and hoodies and coffee mugs and all that. And I'm gonna say, I'm putting it out there.
Our Take Two stuff is gonna come out.
Our Take Two Takedown stuff will be on there as well soon.
Too. Oh, it's gonna pop. You'll love it.
You'll love it.
So, I mean, we talked about the mixed match. We talked about the Royal Rumble, but we both agree there's too much now. We would go into a 4-hour episode.
We'll do that a whole separate episode.
We'll do one of our, you know, dark matches where you will actually hear John and Craig not talk storylines, but actually just talk predictions. And I think for something like the Royal Rumble, we pretty much have the card set for the women's Rumble.
Yeah, from
and
what
the
we were looking
Rumble.
At, we got about 20 or so on men and women's side.
This will give us that opportunity to pick our next 10. Like, who are the stars coming back? Who are they going to call up? That'll give us a lot of time to talk about that. And then the mixed match, I really think it's a brand new venue where we're watching it on Facebook.
Yep.
And WWE is at the forefront of this. I'm looking kind of forward to it. I'm hearing bad things, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we'll have to discuss what they're doing with this and how we think it's going to be beneficial and how it may not work.
We may do a dark match on the Royal Rumble, and we may introduce a new segment where, a la Sunday Heat, it's kind of like the stars against the local wrestler. We'll do like a little show about the mixed match.
I like
because
that you're thinking.
We should probably just cover the mixed match as it happens. It starts next week.
Yeah.
So we can go match by match,
so.
And you guys can get a little pop of us after every match.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. But let's get into the one thing we skipped over from SmackDown, the thing I think we're both very excited about, U.S. Championship Tournament. And our boy that has been our boy from the beginning, Mojo Rawley wins.
Ah, I love Mojo. So the final four, you got Mojo against Bobby Roode.
Yes.
And you've got Jinder against Xavier Woods.
Right.
So you have two opposite wrestlers.
Very opposite.
matching each other. So I can only see it going two ways. Mm-hmm. It'll be a Bobby Roode, Xavier Woods match for the belt, or a Mojo Jinder match for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's take this piece by piece. If we go Bobby Roode, Xavier, who wins? If we go Bobby Roode, Xavier, I'm leaning towards Bobby Roode winning.
I would agree with Bobby Roode. They are trying to get him over. They strapped him with Dolph before Dolph dropped the belt. So they had that rivalry going. They are trying to push him towards the title. He has the personality. He has the ability. Give it to him. Xavier is so over the top. Everybody knows him with New Day. He doesn't need a belt.
He doesn't need it. Over. Right.
You know? So I would say if it was those two, I would go Bobby Roode.
Yes.
Now, for you, with Jinder, knowing that they dropped the belt, they gave it to AJ because Jinder didn't have enough push to go up against Brock.
Right. Even with his nipples.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one nipple represents a third and fourth Singh brother?
Ooh, maybe.
So it's like maybe. The four Singh brothers?
Right.
Two of which are his nipples?
Two of which are his nipples, yeah.
God, we are so stuck on his nipples. Thanks, Tony Dongle Dick. But we're having so much fun with your name. Anyway.
So if we go Jinder versus Mojo.
Yeah, I got to go Mojo.
I think I have to go Mojo. Like, heart. It's now, which I, because if you don't follow Mojo on Twitter, you need to rectify that. Because it's not just his on-air work that is entertaining. It is what he is. It is videos he's posting from the gym. It is when he won, he posted a video from his car of himself saying, you know, I said what I was going to do was win, and that's what I did. You know, like, man, I do what I'm going to I say what I'm going to do, and I do what I'm going to say.
Legit beast.
Like, he is all in on this. And I don't know when you meet him if he is this person. But this is like a 24-hour person for him now. Like,
And I'm loving it.
I'm loving all of it.
About it. If you, I don't know, if you follow him on tweets, and I tweet, like, every time he puts something out, I have to comment.
We love you.
Like, he was putting out, like, his workout routines, and every time he puts that, I find myself, like, texting some rock, you know, inspirational thing to him, like, you know, dedication equals destruction. You go. Right. And I'm like looking at him like I'm an old fat guy, right, and you are this animal in the gym and I'm trying to motivate you.
And that leads to the best part, which is then him liking when we do that stupid stuff to him.
That's why we're best
that's friends.
That's why we're best friends. But we've always enjoyed Mojo.
Exactly. And I think if it is a Mojo Jinder, I think Mojo's winning it. I don't see them giving it to Jinder again just yet.
Okay, well, I will pick the opposite side. I can see them giving it to Jinder because they dropped that belt from him.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to keep him relevant because he does still have a good fan base. You know, because they want to keep him relevant, you give him the U.S. Championship belt. And then you have him play it up like, I am obviously a star from India.
Right, right.
This is not my native country. I could care less about this belt, just like Dolph Ziggler. However, mm-hmm. I am going to hold it over your heads because I am the consummate heel, yeah, and I want you to know.
Yeah.
So I could see either way. I want Mojo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can almost get into the what happens if it's like a Mojo Xavier Wood match, a Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I really hope none of that happens.
But I don't see that happening because I don't think it would be a good match.
No, I don't. I don't. Any of the other two, you know, what we discussed, I think would be entertaining matches. Whether who wins, who doesn't, like, but if you put it any other way, you know, I don't see it working. Like, I don't see a Mojo Xavier or a Bobby Roode Jinder. I don't see it working as well.
I don't get it either.
No.
So, but I really like this whole bracket thing. It's kind of like when I asked for the have the belt rotate and give us like a lot of heat and a lot of, like, I want the tension and I want to see all the bodies in motion and everything. I like this bracket idea with the belt because now it's kind of like, oh, how's it going to pan out?
Mm-hmm.
I get to root for everyone I want in the brackets. Yep. And now it's almost like, you know, the college basketball brackets where it's like, yes, oh, these teams are in. Nobody ever thought of that. Now what do we do?
By the way, now.
So we got our final four.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
See where it goes. And speaking of Twitter, we've been doing a lot of Twitter love this week with our friends at Right Coast Pro. Because this weekend is their Opposite Elements tournament. All right, January 13th, Newark, Delaware. You know, they've got the two actual former WWE legends.
Snitsky and Mordecai
against each other. Our boys, the Baldwin brothers.
And the Crazy Kids.
And the Crazy Kids against each other.
So, I'm going to put it out there.
Put it out there. Do it.
I've gone online. Mm-hmm. I've done my research.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we obviously love the Baldwin brothers.
We do.
And we want them to win.
Yes.
But I am not going to lie to you. Watch the crazy kids.
The video that they did, I think from their parents' basement, that they posted.
But they are ridiculous.
They like, really are.
I hate to say it. Baldwin's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy kids are legit.
I feel what happens is the Baldwin brothers are the more mature, experienced fighters. The crazy kids don't give a shit. And they're doing stuff that I'm like, you might hurt yourself, young man.
little man.
Little man, be careful.
Yeah, please. Watch that, buddy.
Watch that. You'll shoot your eye out.
But I'm just, as much as we have laughed about the crazy kids, I mean, they're legit. And right. It's anybody's match. However, we want the Baldwins to win. I want Snitsky to win. I am a Snitsky fan.
Mm.
And I liked him when he was in the WWE. Watching him at Right Coast Pro has just sent him over the top for me. And I'm a huge Snitsky fan. Yeah. Like, I actually ordered the beard product from
Of course you did.
Because
it
has his name on it.
Mm-hmm. And all I'm hoping from this Right Coast Pro event is that when they're there, the Baldwin brothers refer to them as the Crazy Kids Incorporated. Then I know that they listen to us.
Okay, so we get that. But the other thing about this is and what Right Coast Pro does so well is they bring in their new talent and they showcase these
yes.
new wrestlers. And we're really seeing the future of wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and Right
these
Coast
people
Pro,
start somewhere. They don't automatically go from nothing to WWE Training Center. Like
Right Coast Pro, they take care of their talent and they showcase what they've got. And I mean, just, I can't say enough about the production.
I agree.
So, so we got that. We got Maryland.
We got Maryland Championship Wrestling happening later this month too. That's happening next weekend, January 20th.
Yeah.
All right. They got their breakthrough, the emergence one. Like, same thing. Their local talent in the area, all up and down the East Coast, coming to showcase what they can do. So you can see where the future of wrestling, local and otherwise, is going.
Yeah. So that's why we are big fans of local wrestling, and we get it's all over the United States, all over the world.
Right, right.
But this is just our neck of the woods, and these are the two that we really enjoy following.
Completely agree. So we have our love that we have to give out.
Yeah, let's give out love.
All right, we love Jason Wilson.
Love you, Jason Wilson.
Love you, Jason Wilson.
Resolution Alley?
Resolution Alley, 2018. This is the year of Jason Wilson and Resolution Alley.
I have a commitment from one Jason Wilson.
Yes.
A commitment.
Commitment.
That. As soon as he gets a break in his busy schedule,
mm-hmm.
because he's making music, he's making wrestling, he is just making shit happen.
Making shit happen.
But he has promised
me... He's TCBing.
That's who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
But he has promised me that once he gets a break in his schedule, he would love to come on our show. And folks, I'm not going to lie. I mean, to talk to somebody that is in the production, to talk to somebody that produces music and all that is going to be an amazing thing. And you got to listen to the show because when he comes on, we're going to drop the shtick. I mean, he's a good friend of ours and there will be a lot of joking, but we'll drop the shtick and we'll get you behind the scenes and you will understand what it takes to put on, you know, the music that goes into our show or
right.
what he does for other shows. And he'll get you into what it takes to be part of a wrestling production and the play and all that stuff that you have to get into. I mean, this guy is an amazing, amazing person. Tons of talent in him, and you're going to be lucky to listen to him. His band, Resolution Alley, their album is going to drop. They are going to be huge. So I just want to let everybody know, Craig and I were on the forefront.
We knew this.
Their biggest fans.
We knew this. Exactly. We're already biggest fans. We got t-shirts. Second T3 t-shirts coming out. We love Resolution Alley.
Yeah. And you're a dumbass if you don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tony Dongledick.
Right. If you haven't, you've flapped the wrong jack. Sucker!
All right. We love us some Take Two.
Mom
and Dad.
We love our parents.
Yep.
They're good people. All right, they got plenty going out. They got a Golden Globes episode they just put out.
Just 65. Listened to that today. Their Golden Globe episode is very informative, especially for people like me that, one, don't watch movies, two, don't care about award shows, and three, could care less about all the politics that go into it. However, I listen to their Golden Globes things, and I feel like I am a well-educated
You're a well-educated person. And just going to throw this out there, best part of the Golden Globes episode was the
beginning
intro.
The intro and the outro.
I'm not going to say who did, but it was the best part.
That was my favorite part.
It was my favorite part, too. I don't know why.
So,
All right. We love you guys. Keep listening to all the things on our Take Two. We got the soundtracks. We got the spotlight. We got all that. All right.
Gamer Flamer Lamer, you're a gamer. I'm a gamer. We don't know any flamers.
Well, maybe that Tony Dondledick might be.
Well, I was going to call him a lamer. Tony Dongledick. Tony Bagadick.
Tony Bagadick. No, it's got to start with a D.
Oh, Tony Dickbag?
Yes. Done. Done.
All right.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us, again, it's tripletbag@gmail.com. The word triple spelled out, TBAG@gmail.com. You can get to us on Twitter, @Take2Takedown. I would say that we respond immediately because we love you guys so much, but it's really because we have nothing else to do. And the moment we get a notification that somebody tagged us in something, we respond immediately because we're super excited.
Yeah, I mean, super excited.
Super, way too excited.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So please follow us on there. And once again, we love you. We know most of your family pretends that they love you, but probably not enough to get you all the holiday gifts you wanted. So go on to take2podcast.com, click the Amazon link, buy all the stuff you didn't get for yourself. Maybe you can buy a knockoff Rusev Day t-shirt while you're waiting 2 weeks for an original WWE one to come.
Or just buy a Sharpie and a white t-shirt and make it yourself.
Let's do it. That's what we're going to do for Flap the Wrong Jack.
Woo, sucker.
Woo. Peace, folks.
I got nothing. 2 him as Tony Douchebag?
We'll just be like Tony D.
Tony D, which I guess the D stands for douchebag.
Douchebag? Dickface? I don't know what it stands for.
Yes! That's exactly how it should be. Every time. Good times.
I was actually, after you mentioned it, as I was going down here, I was thinking we should just end every episode with an opening clip from Chris Lee Knows Best. Because the show's over. So but now Chris Lee Knows Best comes on.
I'm just kidding. You know, folks, I love me some dick. But my wife won't let me do that.
I love me some dick, but my wife won't let me do that.
But my wife says I can't have that if we're going to have these children. And we both have pretty horrible Chrisley impressions.
I think that makes it even better.
But like watching him, it's like a car wreck.
It is.
You can't not look away.
Exactly. And they're loving us on the Twitzers.
Well, I mean, because we're, you know, Peter Puff and them.
We're big times, yo.
I mean, when you suck dick like we suck dick.
Then people retweet it.
Then people tweet the shit out of a good dick sucking.
All right.
This has been a production of WTTP Take Two Podcast. A WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP. WT2 Podcast.
WT2 Podcast.
WTTP.
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 WTTP.